Turn in your Bibles tonight to Luke chapter 1. I always like it when God ordains a service, and the Drakes didn't know what I was going to preach about, but the Lord did. And that last song, talking about that home forever, that's what we're going to be talking about tonight. But in Luke chapter 1, starting in verse 28, verse 28, the angel came in unto her and said, "Hail, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee, blessed art thou among women." And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, "Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end." Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, God, we just come to you tonight. We just thank you for this another day, the freedom we have to come to your house and worship you and look at your word and preach your gospel, dear Lord. We pray that you would speak through me your words and bind any of my words, Lord. Just want to proclaim your truth. What you want spoken tonight, dear Lord. I just love you and thank you and praise you for who you are. And we pray for receptive hearts tonight. For those that may not know you, dear Lord, we pray that your word would speak to them and prick their hearts, and they would come to know you before it's everlastingly too late. We love you and thank you and praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. Last night we had the opportunity of taking the youth to a progressive supper, and we appreciate all you that prepared and opened your homes for the youth. We had a great time, and kids really enjoyed it. But I shared this scripture with them last night, and I wanted to challenge them during, as we start this Christmas season. You know, we read the Christmas story year in, year out, and probably several times during the year. But I challenge them to ask the Lord to show them something new and not just think that, I've heard this a million times, you know. I challenge them to ask the Lord to show them something new in the Christmas story. And this year, a few weeks ago, someone read this scripture, and I heard this scripture, and those last two verses that we read there, the Lord really started speaking to me. And I don't know, like I said, we've heard this time and time again, but the promise of His eternal kingdom, and I don't know that I've ever brought that into the Christmas story like it was brought here. And then the Lord started speaking to me. He was bringing up the times He talks about this in Daniel and in Revelations and in other places about how He promises His eternal kingdom's coming one of these days. And we're going to live with Him forever and ever, as they were just singing about. But it says that Jesus, here in verse 32, He shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. And like I said, the Lord was just speaking to me. And he got to talking to me about all his promises in his word and how we can bank on those and how we can depend upon those promises. But if I had to title the message tonight, I would just have to say, a sampling of God's promises. Because, you know, God's Word is full of His promises, and we could spend days and weeks and months and years focusing on the promises here for us. But not tonight, I just want to look specifically at the promise of His eternal kingdom and look at a few places in His Word talking about these promises. In Daniel, if you remember, King Nebuchadnezzar besieged Jerusalem. He took captives and took prisoners and stole from the temple of God. And remember, Daniel and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego was among those that were captured. But if you remember in chapter 2 that Nebuchadnezzar had a dream, and he couldn't remember the dream, and he wanted all the magicians, the astrologers, and the smart men to tell him what the dream was, and then the interpretation. And there's no way we can do that. If you'll tell us the dream, we'll tell you what the interpretation is. But you know the story that Daniel prayed to God, and God gave Daniel the dream, and He gave him the interpretation. And it was the dream about the statue, the head of gold, the breast and arms of silver, the legs and of brass, and then the feet of iron and part of clay. And you know that represents the four kingdoms and of this world, and we don't have time to get in that. But in the interpretation here, I want to read a couple of verses there in Daniel chapter 2. Daniel was given the interpretation. He says in verse 44, "And in the days of these kings shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed. And the kingdom shall not be left to other people, but it shall break into pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. For as much as thou sawest that the stone was cut out of the mountain without hands, and that it break in pieces, the iron, the brass, the clay, the silver, and the gold, the great God hath made known to the king what shall come to pass hereafter, and the dream is certain, and the interpretation thereof sure." You can believe this. In Nebuchadnezzar's dream, and in Daniel's interpretation, he talks about that eternal kingdom. And we just read about when the angel spoke to Mary about Jesus coming to the earth, again, promising of God's eternal kingdom. One thing about Nebuchadnezzar, you know, he was a prideful man. He was hard-hearted. And if you remember the story of Nebuchadnezzar, you remember God sent him into the field to be like animals, and he stayed there 7 years. And he became like a beast being out there. But God used that to change his heart. And Nebuchadnezzar's heart was softened. Now listen to what Nebuchadnezzar says right at the end about the Lord. He says, "At the end of the days, I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted up my eyes unto heaven, and mine understanding returned unto me. And I blessed the Most High, and I praised and honored Him that liveth forever, whose dominion is everlasting dominion." Nebuchadnezzar understood it. "And His kingdom is from generation to generation. And all the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing. And He doth according to His will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth, and none can stay His hand or say unto Him, what doest thou?" You think about, it doesn't matter what America does today. It doesn't matter what China does today, or North Korea, or Russia, or Iran, or whoever. God's on the throne, and He's going to set up His eternal kingdom. one of these days. Praise the Lord. Nebuchadnezzar, a couple more verses, goes on. He says, "And at the same time my reason returned unto me, and for the glory of my kingdom, mine honor and brightness returned unto me, and my counselors and my lord sought unto me, and I was established in my kingdom, and excellent majesty was added unto me." That could only happen by God's will. I mean, he was in the field as an animal. It says his nails grew, and he was out of his mind. But he says his mind returned to him, his reason returned to him, and his glorious kingdom came back to him as it was before. And only God could do that. One more verse there. It says, "Now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and extol and honor the King of heaven, all whose works are truth and his ways judgment, and those that walk in pride he is able to abase." He had first-hand knowledge of that. He was prideful. He wanted to be in charge. But yet he was humbled down lowly, and God delivered him and showed him who he was. Then if you go over a few more chapters in Daniel, and Daniel chapter 7, verse 13, this was a vision of Daniel. Daniel 7:13, he says, "I saw in the night visions, and behold, one like the Son of Man came with the clouds of heaven, and came to the Ancient of Days, and they brought him near before him. And there was given him dominion and glory and a kingdom, that all people, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion, which shall not pass away, and his kingdom that which shall not be destroyed." And we see it time and time and time again. We've got it earlier in the Old Testament, later in the other prophets, and even in the New Testament in Revelations. And like I said, we don't even have time to look at all those. But we see here in Daniel talking about the end, that God's eternal kingdom, everlasting kingdom, is going to be set up. And as we read in Luke concerning the birth of Jesus, another familiar Christmas passage in Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6 and 7, it says, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end. Upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it, to establish it with judgment and with justice, from henceforth even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this." We even see it in the Lord's Prayer. As Jesus was teaching his disciples how to pray, in the closing he says, "Forever and ever. Amen," talking about that eternal kingdom. You know, we get wrapped up in things of this world and things that's going on to this world, and we wish things may get better. It might, and I hope it does, but it may not. But know this, that God's on the throne. He's going to set up his eternal kingdom. It may not seem like he's going to do anything anytime soon, but as they were singing, it may be pretty close. May be pretty close. Turn over to Revelations, if you would. A couple prophecies in there concerning that everlasting kingdom. In Revelation chapter 11. Revelation 11, verse 14. You're familiar with all the terrible things of God's judgment that He's going to pronounce one of these days in Revelation. I'm just thankful that we don't have to be a part of that because of what Jesus did on the cross. We don't have to worry about God's judgment being pronounced upon us. But there in Revelation 11, it's talking about the seven trumpet judgments, and the last three are the three woes. We're going to be looking at the last one here. And if you have time, read that whole chapter. We don't have time to do it, but you can see how God does pronounce His judgment. And then, well, let me just read it. I don't want to get ahead. Revelation 11:14, it says, "The second woe is past, and behold, the third woe cometh quickly. And the seventh angel sounded, there were great voices in heaven saying, The kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of His Christ, and He shall reign forever and ever." Isn't that just what we just read in Daniel about the kingdoms, the four kingdoms and the statue, how that Christ is going to come in to defeat them and take over? He's going to set up and He's going to reign forever and ever. 16, and the 24 elders which sat before God on their seats fell upon their faces and worshiped God, saying, "We give Thee thanks, O Lord Almighty, which art and wast and art to come, because Thou hast taken Thee Thy great power and hast reigned." It's going to be a glorious time. We're going to see God's perfect judgment pronounced. It's going to be righteous judgment. And nobody can complain about it. Nobody can. It's going to be perfect. And that's what's going to be so nice about that, because God's judgment is perfect. When we judge somebody, we get in the flesh and it's not right. But when God judges, it's righteous. All right. As they were singing that song, talking about the streets of gold, you guys know about the New Jerusalem over in Revelations 21 and 22. I got a couple of verses there to read. In the last chapter, Revelations 22, we're in heaven. God has finished His judgment. The beast, the Antichrist, the false prophet, and Satan, and all those that never accepted Christ are thrown into the lake of fire. And He set up His eternal kingdom, that new Jerusalem, a new heaven and a new earth, and He's going to rule and reign forever and ever. Revelations 22, verse 3 through 5, and He says, "And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it. And His servants shall serve Him, and they shall see His face, and His name shall be in their foreheads, and there shall be no night there, and they need no candle, neither light for the sun, for the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and ever." Amen. As I mentioned earlier about that second death, couple chapters before this, if you've not accepted Christ as Lord and Savior, you're going to be in part of that second death. You're going to be having that judgment pronounced upon you. He says there in Revelations 26, "Blessed and holy is he that is part in the first resurrection." The only way you can be a part of the first resurrection is if you know the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. "On such the second death hath no power, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with Him 1,000 years. You see, you've got to trust in the Lord Jesus Christ and believe on Him and accept Him as Lord and Savior. We just read about that eternal kingdom in Revelations 22, about there's no need for the light because Christ and the Lord is going to be the light of it, and he's going to reign forever and ever. And in that same chapter, he says this three times. And this is Jesus speaking. It's read in my Bible. He says, verse 7, "Behold, I come quickly." He's coming quickly. "Blessed is he that keepeth the sayings of the prophecy of this book. And behold, I come quickly," verse 12, "and my reward is with me to give to every man according as his work shall be." Verse 20, "He which testifies these things saith, surely I come quickly. Amen. Even so come, Lord Jesus." Can you say that tonight? "Even so come, Lord Jesus." If you've not accepted him, you don't want him to come back because you're not ready. But if you've accepted him, you can say that. We're looking for his return. "Even so come quickly, Lord Jesus. We want to see you. We want you to set up this eternal kingdom forever and forever." And we thank you, Lord, for that. And in closing, I want you to turn back to Exodus. Exodus chapter 15. I hope I can read it. When I was studying and the Lord showed me this, I got stirred up. You know, I tend to focus on the New Testament when I study. And yeah, I do read the Old Testament some, but when God uses his word to confirm his promises all through his word, it's just special. And here in Exodus 15, the children of Israel had just left Egypt, and God has now delivered them from the Pharaoh and the Egyptians and the Red Sea. They had just crossed the Red Sea. They were delivered, and all Pharaoh's men perished in the Red Sea. And I encourage you to read this chapter. It's actually called the Song of Moses. And before we read it, in Revelation 15, it says, in the end, when we're in heaven, it says, "And they sang the song of Moses and the song of the Lamb." But I just want to read a few verses here of that in closing. Chapter 15, verse 16. It says, "Fear and dread shall fall upon them by the greatness of thine arm. They shall be as still as stone till thy people pass over. O Lord, till the people pass over, which thou hast purchased." We've been bought with a price. That precious blood that was shed for us on Calvary. We see that here in Exodus. In the Song of Moses. That's why they're going to be singing that in heaven too. Because of what Jesus did for us. We've been purchased. "Thou shalt bring them in and plant them in the mountain of thine inheritance." Also because of what Jesus did. We have an inheritance. Incorruptible. Undefiled inheritance, eternal life in heaven. It says, "In the mountain of thine inheritance, in the place, O Lord, which thou hast made for thee to dwell in the sanctuary, O Lord, why thy hands have established," verse 18, "the Lord shall reign forever and ever." God's promises. In his word. God's promise in his word. just a little thing to focus on, to think about tonight. I wanted to share that with you because the Lord just spoke to me. And hearing that Christmas story about that eternal kingdom, it's been God's plan from the beginning to the end for Him to set up that kingdom for us. He loved us so much. The thing is, we've got to accept it and believe in Him.